And welcome to the Coach Mark Schmidt Show as we take a look back at the last four St. Bonaventure basketball games and look ahead to what's going to happen here Thanksgiving weekend. Gary Neese with you. Mark is busy today, but we have the honor of having Sean Neal, the associate head coach, with us. And Sean, 6-0 start. I mean, it's I don't think the fans expected that. This team has come together and seems to be improving every game.
Yeah, I think in this era of the portal and the transfer process, I don't think there's many teams in the country that know what to expect anymore. I don't care if you're the defending national champion. I don't care if you're the 360th team in the country. You're going to have a significant amount of turnover every year. And, you know, with some of these kids that you take, you're essentially guessing that they're going to be A, good players, and then B, good players in your system. So it's really, it's not easy to differentiate who's going to be really good for your program and who's not.
Yeah, and recruiting right now, it's 24/7, 365. You guys, and you watch, every team's done it. Coaches are constantly out scouting, but it used to be, you're in the high school gyms or you're at AAU. Now you're scouting every other college Division I team and Division II, looking for the right players to fit your system.
Yeah, you used to, you know, at Bonaventure, it was done a little bit later in the spring with recruiting. But you always felt in July like, you know, there was some pressure and you had to see these kids and, you know, you really had to establish a good relationship with them from the winter on the spring and then carry it on to the summer and hopefully get an official visit in the fall. Now you've just finished bringing in, or hopefully finished bringing in, your whole team by the time recruiting starts in July. You know, we took, you know, Noah in August this year, and Xander, I think, was in July right before we went recruiting. So now July is, you're so far behind, you feel like, because you're getting your team. The most important thing is always the next year. So you're really, like, kids who are 2, 3, 4 years down the road are really an afterthought now.
Yeah, and this team has some freshmen, some quality freshmen, and they're being brought along probably to their advantage. They're getting some playing time, and just to get their feet wet a little bit into the system and B, into Division I basketball. So that has to be a positive. And talking with Coach Schmidt and also Woj, a lot about retention, and that's going to be, I think that's going to be a word you're going to hear a lot in college basketball, especially when it gets down to the end of the season. Who can you retain? How many can you retain? Because that way you can bring in 4 or 5 players, but you've got somebody there to teach them other than the coaches. They, you know, sometimes the coaches get tuned out, but the players will tell, hey, this is what you've got to do.
Yeah, I think retention will now mean that the kids have been there a year at the most. I think it's going to be really hard to keep guys 4 years. Even 3 years seems like really difficult situation. But to bring guys back after being in the program for a year is really a huge help. Like Noel Brown, just the example he can set for like a Xander Wedlow every day and show him how to work, how things are done. It really can benefit if, you know, if Xander were to be back, which we're hoping next year. So you always want to bring some guys back. But again, like, kids are either going to be really happy after their season, they're going to want to get in the portal. They're going to think they could be even better, they're going to want to get in the portal, or things didn't go as they wanted to, and they're going to be in the portal. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but it's a challenge for everyone. So there's no complaining about it.
All right. Well, let's get to the games. Obviously, the first two games, you had the win against Cal State Northridge, and then went up to Canisius and beat the Griffs. And then it was the first true, really true road game. This is where everything has to happen. You get on the plane, you fly down there, you do the nightly setup and scouting, then you go practice. I mean, the whole trip. And this is the first time the team has really had an opportunity to do this. And you go down and play a really good Florida Gulf Coast team who's getting their home opener. And I think people were maybe mildly surprised at how well the team played that night.
Yeah, it was great to see them in a different atmosphere. Florida Gulf Coast is a really talented team. Like Keyshawn Kelman started on Princeton's NCAA tournament team. he's a terrific player, probably could play anywhere in the country. And, you know, guys like Dalion Johnson were proven, Javon Muniz, just really good, solid players. And, you know, they're tough kids. Mm-hmm. And it was great that we were able to maintain that lead. They came back a little bit, and then we were able to, at the end, pull away a little bit. But it was really a game about toughness. And we've prided ourselves on over the years of being tough enough to win those games. And, you know, the kids really defended well that day.
Yeah, and you mentioned the word toughness, and that's, I think that's an attribute for this team this year. The guys you recruited that are on the team this year, you can see that they're very athletic, and you've got a little bit of length, a little bit of height, but I think the length, when they can put their arm out or put their arm up, and that has been a key to your defense this year. They've been able to really, you know, guard hard, deflect passes, get the loose balls and go down the court. It's been a main part, not only of your defense, but your offense.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was an emphasis in the offseason that we wanted to get a little bit more length and size on the wing. So we were able to do that, with Chance Moore, Jackson Edwards, even Melvin and DeSante are, you know, big, strong kids. Last year we ran into some issues with guarding wings. And then rebounding from that spot. And we had Dom Welch for 4 years.
Yeah.
And those guys could switch 1 through 4, and they all were similar size, but Dom was really, he had great size and he could jump and he had good timing on rebounds. And at that position, you really need a guy who can both A, move his feet, and B, rebound for his position.
Right. And you mentioned the guards. You're basically running a 3-man rotation at the guard right now with Melvin and Jonah and DeSante. And they have done a good job because they're now turning to be interchangeable. You can feel a little bit more comfortable with any of those three at the point.
Yeah, I think Jonah has done an excellent job just coming in. And the more he plays, the more comfortable he gets. And, you know, those guys have a little bit more experience with him, but he certainly is very skilled. And he's really talented, and we're really excited about him, along with Melvin's defensive presence out there. He's really long. He's able to get up underneath people. And, you know, those guys really rebound for their position. They've done a great job this year of getting into the fight and getting those 50-50 rebounds that we're going to need from the rest of the season.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday during the ball game. You've got Chance, who's got 8 rebounds a game, but the rest of the team, you've got guys constantly getting 5, 4, 6. And you've got 4 or 5 guys that are having that total instead of maybe a couple. And your point guard averages a rebound a game. Your point guard right now is averaging 4.5 rebounds a game.
Yeah. Again, that was an emphasis in the offseason. We know getting a great shooter in the portal is really difficult because everyone needs them. So you really have to focus on, are you able to become a good defensive team, and are you able to become a good rebounding team? And I think with the size and athleticism we brought in, those are two staples that we're going to be able to do all year. And hopefully the offense comes along. But it's really hard to make up for those things if you don't necessarily have them. The athleticism, the length, it's really difficult during the season to compensate for those.
Yeah, what we've seen in the first 6 games of the year is that, and this probably has a lot to do with Portal, is the fact that teams are more of transition teams now. It's difficult to take 5 guys and have them learn a new offense, knowing that they're going to be gone in a year probably. So the idea is to get out on the run and to score as fast as you can. And we've been the last couple of games, LeMoyne and both Bryant both get the ball and go. And that's what you've been doing this year too.
Yeah, I think these kids grow up now too. They use ball screens. They play in transition. It's a lot more free. I think a lot of coaches, don't want to take the time to teach it because I think it's better spent somewhere else. I still think Mark is, if not the best teacher, one of the best teachers in the country, though. He really teaches guys the game while he's on the court. He's not just asking them to do something to do it. He's showing them and explaining why they're doing it. And, you know, I think he's trying to find that common ground where we can run our sets, really emphasize what we're trying to do, but also give the guys some freedom.
It was fun. There was a point yesterday. It was trying to think. It was in the second half, and the ball went out of bounds. We had the ball, but Melvin and I believe it was DeSante getting together, and they were both discussing the play, and you can see one of them pointing, this is where you should have been. And, you know, it's like they're still learning on the fly here.
Yeah, I think, you know, when Mark had Jay Adams and Kyle Lofton, those guys knew the offense like the back of their hand. Mm-hmm. And I think they played with guys who were there 3-4 years, and things just clicked. Now, you know, Noel was here last year, but he's the only one who played. Now we have four new guys trying to learn the offense. And then you bring Jonah off the bench. He's new. Jackson, Noah, Dwayne, all these guys. So it's just, you know, I think coaches got to find a happy medium where they can implement what they're trying to do, what they think is best for the team, and also gives the kids an opportunity to get up and down a little bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about the depth on the team so far. When we talked to Mark preseason, he said, I've got guys 1 through 11, and there's not much of a drop in talent. He said, so it's a little bit more comfortable putting – that number 11 guy on your roster in the game, because you're not going to see a drop off in talent. And that's something that has worked for you this year. You're going 4 deep, 5 deep off the bench.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like I said before, when we got into the portal and you're essentially bringing in all these new guys, I mean, you're really honest with the kids, and you know, you're going to have an opportunity to play minutes. And the guys we brought in, whether they're 1 or 11, we feel really confident and comfortable in putting them in. You know, and there might be a guy who's playing well one game, but not the next game, where we want to go with the next guy who can help us win. And at the end of the day, that's what's most important, that they're all helping us win, and that they feel part of a team.
Yeah, and that's another thing to talk about. I mean, Chance Moore has had a couple of great games in a row, and then he had a 6-point game. But you had other guys making up for that. And LeJay Jones comes in strong, and Dwayne Thompson off the bench had a couple of nice games. So it's something to see, and something that's been a positive thing for this team this year. Talk about the development. We've been talking a lot about preseason, but talk about how the team has improved from the point where they started practice to where we are right now at 6-0. It seems to be like a steady, not a big jump, but a steady improvement game to game.
Yeah, I think it has been an improvement. Like Kent State, like I think we came home from that scrimmage, and you know, you're never alarmed, but you're always concerned. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure, or try to make sure, that you're doing the best you can with the guys and giving them every tool to be successful. And we weren't very good in that scrimmage, and I think sometimes improvement is not a straight line. Like there's going to be, you're going to take 2 steps back sometimes, yep, and it's going to be up and down, but you continuously get better. And I think the guys, what's really great about this group so far is that they're in the gym, whether it's good or bad. You know, sometimes guys have success and individually they'll step back and say, you know, I've done it. I'm good, mm-hmm, right now. But
yeah,
the guys who haven't played well or haven't played as much as they want, they're still in the gym working. And I think when you have guys of that character, that shows a lot about the team and the players.
All right. First 3 wins, that Florida Gulf Coast was a nice win, gave you a little bit of a jump because, you know, you had 3 home games coming up. And you had 1 Division II, the Mansfield game. And that one, when you look at Division II, everybody in the A-10 is doing it. Probably everybody actually in Division I has got at least 1 Division II game. There's very few of the Division I teams that don't have a Division II game or lower even for some teams on their schedule. Was it in there for a reason, or was it the fact that you couldn't find another Division I team to play?
Well, Matt handles a lot of the scheduling stuff, but the difficulty of scheduling now is because the high major teams don't want to play teams like us anymore. Mm-hmm. They do everything they can to avoid it, and it's to their benefit. They would rather play the lowest level Division I teams and beat them by 100, mm-hmm, and that helps their net ratings.
Yep.
If they play a team like us and, you know, we win or it's close, that doesn't benefit them at all. And then consequently, they play in their league and they all have 10, 12 wins going into conference play that, mm-hmm, you know, that really helps the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, so everyone's doing it now. And when you're playing these games, like for Mansfield, they come in and it's the biggest game of their career.
Yeah.
Those kids want to prove that they belong here. And, you know, a lot of them are good players. They're tough kids. They might be a little undersized or a little bit slower, but, you know, they're good players, and we knew it was going to be a great challenge. And so we weren't surprised that it was a really difficult game. Like, any time, especially in this portal, you have no idea who could show up and be a really good player or not meet expectations. So we weren't surprised at all that it was a tough game. And, you know, I've seen a bunch of A-10 teams that are actually playing two Division II games.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's going to continue to be the case.
All right. So 5-0, and now we get to what happened on Sunday. Bryant comes in, and the little side things going on with this game. I mean, Phil Martelli Jr. coming in after his father coached so many years for St. Joe's. You had Nick Schmidt on the bench next to Phil Martelli Jr. You had Charles Pride, who played 4 years at Bryant, sitting on the other side in his body gear. So it was very interesting before the game. And we got into the game, we knew it was going to be a transition game because they were taking an average of 72, 73 shots a game, two shots a minute on the scoreboard. So we knew that they get down the floor, they take the shots, and the way the game started, it looked like you were going to have 65 points at halftime, but then we got the lull that Coach hates. I got that little lull at the end of the half, but it was a great start and a great second half to the game. Talk about the planning for this game, knowing that these guys are just going to get the ball, they were going to go to the basket, or that five-out offense.
Yeah, so first of all, like, you know, we got to work with – I got to work with Nick here.
Yeah.
My first year here, he was great. He's done an outstanding job for Bryant, clearly. So Bryant has one of the most talented teams. A lot of those kids are high-major transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Like Timberlake was a Memphis kid. Number 13 was Miami. Barry Evans came from here.
Yeah. I forgot Barry.
Yeah. So they have a lot of high-major talent. Pinzon with St. John. So for whatever reason, it didn't work out. But you're recruited at those schools for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're athletically gifted or you have one skill set that really intrigues those coaches. So, you know, those kids are really talented. Now, their whole thing is that they're going to play fast. They're going to out-rebound you. They're going to get more possessions, more shots. And, you know, we feel like athletically we could match up with them. So going into the game, we wanted to execute some offense, though. We wanted to make them defend in the half court. We wanted to make them play more of a slowed down pace. At some points there, our guys got into it where we were running up and down, which we didn't always want to do. But we thought athletically we could compete with them so we could win, you know, however, which way the game went. Now, you know, if they made 12, 13, 14 threes, that's a different story. So we really wanted to guard the three-point line. But we wanted to take away those transition baskets. You know, they're really good in transition, and they prefer to play downhill with offensive rebounds and all that stuff. So I thought we did a solid job limiting that stuff. But again, they'll be one of the best teams in the America East, if not the best. So it was a great challenge. And, you know, with Barry coming back here and having so many relationships and everything like that, the guys were excited to play against them, mm-hmm. just from a competition standpoint.
Yeah, you could tell even in the warm-ups, Barry was very excited about being back at Bonas. I don't know if is it something where he tries to prove a point, or is it, you know, what you know, you talk about the psychological part of things. He's back. He's pumped. He knows every inch of Riley Center. Is it something if he tries trying to prove that he belonged and maybe needed more time here?
Yeah, well you know, Barry was always welcome back.
Yeah,
here.
I'm going to say more playing time.
Probably. And you always want to prove yourself when you're on the court, but there's added motivation, certainly when you come back to your old school. I think Noel Brown talked about it in the post-game press conference. When he went back to GW, he wanted to prove that, you know, he was maybe a better player than they had envisioned for him. So certainly Barry, who's a great kid, wanted to prove that he was
Might have led to that technical foul that he got too.
Yeah, I think Melvin got him going there for a while, and then he's the one who got caught because those guys enjoy going back and forth.
We looked at the matchups, and Timberlake is a huge matchup problem. Going to be a huge matchup problem for everybody. His size, 6'6", he's got what I call an old man game. He can back you down. He can do the pick and roll and does a great job. Your advantage was inside, and there was a definite part of the game that you were going down low. No matter who was down there, you're going to try to get that ball to Noel, and he responded.
Yeah, he certainly did. And with Timberlake, what makes him most effective is that he knows his weaknesses and stays away from them. Like, we try to tell our guys all the time, like, don't play to your weaknesses. Play to your strengths. Don't try to prove people that you can do something that you can't. And Timberlake doesn't force perimeter shots. Like, he knows he can't shoot, so he doesn't. And then with Noel, we wanted to establish the inside presence. He had probably 40 or 50 pounds on both their five men. And he was, you know, a couple inches taller than 22 and maybe 4 inches taller than number one. So we really wanted to establish him in the post. And, you know, you can throw in the post, but sometimes guys don't finish. And he did a great job establishing position and then also finishing and drawing contact. You know, he went 4 for 5 in the free throw line. So he did a great job, and he wanted the ball. So he's worked extremely hard on his low post game. And to his credit, he was able to finish around the basket.
Yeah, that's the one thing that you see in a couple of occasions in earlier games. He does a great job of establishing that low post. You can see him spread out, make room that there's room. The guards getting the ball to him has been a problem every once in a while, but he's still working hard to get that position. And he's very close to being unstoppable when he gets down. When he's 5-6 feet away from the basket, it's hard to stop him.
Yeah, he does a good job, and he wants the ball. And I think because all the work he's put in, it's given him confidence. And, you know, when a big guy wants the ball like that, usually good things happen. Either you're going to draw a double team, you're going to draw a foul, or they're going to get to be able to score the basket. And, again, to Noel's credit, like last year when Chad was here and he wasn't getting all the minutes that he probably wanted, he didn't pout about it. He just kept working and working, and now the opportunity's presented to play for himself to play this amount of minutes, and he's taking advantage of it.
And he's using his strength. I mean, sometimes you see a guy 6'11", he can use his height, but Noel is actually using his strength. I'm thinking back to the Florida Gulf Coast game. There was a play late in the game when you needed a basket, and he literally lifted a guy off the ground who was holding by the arm, and he lifted him up and scored. It turned out to be a three-point play in a very important part of the game. So you love to see a player using not only his height and his talent, but his strength.
Yeah, he's a giant person. I mean, he's 6'10", 6'11", 260. He's in great shape. He really takes care of himself. And he's not afraid to mix it up. You know, he enjoys playing in the paint, and you know, clearly we enjoy throwing it to him in the paint.
Yeah. Now, part of your duties here at St. Bonaventure is working with the big men, getting them ready and go through a typical workout. I know that you do individual workouts when they go in. You work on different, not only getting the ball, but getting it in different positions, going left or right, maybe hook shot, maybe not. Talk about the process of teaching a big guy how to play down there.
So I think it's changed drastically, you know, even since I was in college. The five men now handle the ball as much as anyone on the court, aside from the point guard. Like, a lot of teams, including us, will run their offense, like their continuity offense, through the five men. So that's changed. They used to just stand on the block. Now they're doing dribble handoffs.
Oh, 5 years ago, if you gave the ball to the center, it never came back. It either went out of bounds or it went in a basket or missed shot.
Yeah, a lot of times now they're the team's best passer. Like the kid Quinn last year from Richmond was terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Noel, like Xander, Mike, we do a lot of ball handling. Start off 10 minutes, 15 minutes of that. Then we'll go to jump hooks, and then we'll do like dribble handoffs. Then we'll do post work. They'll do some conditioning stuff. But I think a lot of coaches are like this. You try to do the same stuff for a period of time so they get better at it. You don't want to do it one day and then move on to something. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to stick to the same stuff. And then, you know, guys like Noel, though, you're not going to really become better until you're doing multiple workouts in a day. And I think he's really, really embraced that here. Like, he'll come back to the gym by himself at night and work on his jump shot. He'll work on his jump hooks, but like, we'll have one workout in the day. He'll go to practice, he'll go eat, and he'll come back on his own at night, which speaks volumes about him as a person. But again, the five minutes become the most difficult position because they're guarding the ball screen.
Right.
They have to guard the post. They still have to rebound.
Oh, yeah. He's at 30 feet from the basket, and he's sprinting back to get under the basket after they've shocked the play.
Yeah, when we tell the five men here, they're like, how many minutes they're gonna like when and during the recruiting process, they're like, well, I want to play 40 minutes a game, and we're like, you know, it's physically impossible at this point to play 40 minutes a game as a five man. It's just the amount of work, and it's too much. So the five has definitely become the most difficult position. But you know, when you get a guy like Noel who embraces that work, it makes it a lot easier and more enjoyable to coach.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the games that are coming up. We're heading down to Florida into the down in the Orlando area for the ESPN NIT season tip-off tournament and some formidable opponents. Utah State is also undefeated, playing very well. They're averaging 100 points a game or something around there. And then North Texas, Northern Illinois, that's the part of the bracket that Bonaventure is involved in. So we get to play Utah State on Thursday, on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, Utah State, certainly they're a really impressive team coming off a win against Iowa. They beat Charlotte by 30 this year, just beat Montana at home. So they're really good. You know, they have the kid Ian Martinez, who's a terrific player. They're two guard. And then, you know,
yeah, he was tearing up people last year in the ACC, and here he is.
Yeah, really talented kid. And then they have the 2 7-footers, and they can really shoot the basketball. So it's a great test. You can't be afraid at this point in the year to go play these difficult games. It really helps you for the conference and for the road that lies ahead. But, you know, Utah State, they're a top 50 team in the country. So we're really looking forward to the challenge. Our guys are excited about it and just the venue and all the stuff that comes with it.
Yeah, and again, back-to-back games, whoever wins or loses, you're right back at it the next night against North Texas, an NIT champion, and Northern Illinois, or I should say
Iowa, yeah.
Iowa, I should say. We've had problems with that team the last couple of times we played them.
Yeah, certainly. Northern Iowa, they caught us here after Thanksgiving, after the Charleston Classic.
Yep.
You know, A.J. Green, I think he's playing for the Milwaukee Bucks right now.
Yeah.
Had 35 points against us. So it took a special effort for them to beat us. But they were a really good team that year. They caught us on the right day, too. And then we went out there during that snowstorm 2 years ago before Christmas. And they had to move the game up. So it threw us off a little bit. But, again, they were a good team. We had all new guys. We were probably one of the first teams in the country to bring in a whole new team.
That's right. Yeah, you had one rebound and 2 points total for coming back. So that was kind of a tough sell there. But
yeah, and you know, they're really well coached. Ben Jacobson does a great job, and in North Texas is a phenomenal defensive team. They're really difficult to score on. They won at Minnesota this year, so all four teams are ready for the challenge.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a competitive bracket, and of course the games. We're going to be on the Bonnies Online Network, and the Hero will be on the air at 5 o'clock Thanksgiving night. Now, I think it's the Cowboys and the Giants on TV, so there's no reason to have the TV on. Just flip to the Bonnies Online Network, and the Hero 100.1 will have the Bonnies game for you at 5:30. And depending upon where we go, it's either a 6 o'clock game or a 9 o'clock game on Friday nights. Sean, I want to thank you very much for stepping in for Mark today, and continuing success with this program.
Thank you guys very much for having me. It was a great experience.